Good morning. Welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. We are so glad that you're here worshiping with us today. I ask that you will fill out the attendance pads that are at the end of each pew so that we can have a record of your attendance for the church and also for the offices downtown. We are also very proud to be celebrating United Methodist Women's Sunday today. You might notice that there are quite a few women that have a little sticker on that says, it's not women's work, it's God's work. And we take a Sunday every year to draw attention to United Methodist women. And this year, we're especially proud that this is the 150th anniversary of United Methodist women. Women have been working not only in Asbury, but around the world, doing great things for God and serving His purpose. I'd like to just take a second to thank all of you for your support of our bake sale that we had a couple of weeks ago. We had our best turnout ever, and I hope you've enjoyed the baked goods that you have bought, and we appreciate your support. We'd also like to invite any of you that are not members, women that is, to check with somebody that has a sticker on. We have three different circles that meet at various times, and we would love to have you come and serve us in missions, spiritual growth, and our supportive community. Now, if you would turn to the back of your bulletin, we have some announcements. Vacation Bible School registration is open. This year's theme is To Mars and Beyond, and that sounds pretty exciting. It will be for children 4 years through fifth grade, so you're invited on a space travel and adventure to explore where God's power can take you. If you need any more information, you can contact the office or Miss Laura. This coming Tuesday is Terrific Tuesday. If you'd like to join us for that, let the church office know by 10 o'clock tomorrow morning so we can have you down for a lunch. Next Sunday, May 12th, is Mother's Day. Come and worship with your family and celebrate mothers everywhere. And please make note that Sunday, May 26th, there will just be one combined service in honor of Memorial Day. And if you would like to see other things that are going on in the church, we have many of them. Check the bulletin and you'll have a list of what's going on. Now I'd like to invite you to stand and greet each other and pass the peace of Christ. Now, if you would, please stand and join me. This is our call to worship. Eternal God, we have gathered in your sanctuary this morning as members of your family to worship you as our living God.
Living God, you have called us to be in community with one another.
Enable us to center ourselves for renewal in your presence, commitment to your mission and ministry with the least of these here and around the world.
Equip us with your Holy Spirit to witness your love and power, healing and reconciliation, nurturance and new life.
Inspire us once again to be the tellers of the old, old story in ever new context, that Jesus has come so that all may have life, in fact, more than life.
Life in its fullness through Jesus Christ. Amen.
And now remain standing for our hymn of praise, Stand Up for Jesus, number 514.
Oh,
to you in the silence. I will lift you from all your fear. You will hear my voice. I claim you as my choice. Be still.
Now let's have the children join us up front for Miss Val.
Yes, this is great. Thank you for coming up. Well, do you remember what today is called? Do you remember what Miss Mary said? Today is called United Methodist Women's Sunday. That's right. That's right. Now, our organization of women is how old? Do you remember how old she said?
150.
That's right, 150 years, almost as old as I am. anyway, 150 years ago, in a small church in Massachusetts, there was a group of ladies that looked around town and they said, our men are not taking care of poor women and children. And there were a lot of fishermen in that town that went out to sea and didn't come back. It was a dangerous, dangerous way to make a living. So the ladies of the church, because the men weren't doing very much, decided to have a meeting at the church. And they they told their husbands that they were going to have a meeting. That was not the right thing to do, was it? Anyway, when they got to church, what happened? What did they find?
They were locked out.
They were locked out of the church. That's right. Well, I bet things weren't too happy at home that night. Do you suppose? I imagine not. Well, anyway, the ladies were more determined than ever to form these aid societies and help poor women and children. And they grew, the numbers of aid societies grew, and now we're all over the world in almost every Methodist church. And we are celebrating that today. Now, we have a slogan here at Asbury, and I have a little helper here who's going to hold it up for me, this little sign. Now, if everybody wants to read it with me, it's not God's work, it's God's work. That's right. And we believe that that is really, really true. God works through our organization. And we're hoping that maybe some of you will join us who are not members right now. Let's pray. Thank you so much. Everybody bow their heads. Dear God, thank you so much for the ladies of our church who try every day to help others. Amen.
It is with a very heavy heart that I have to announce to you the death of Reverend David Moore, who passed away unexpectedly last night. At this time, I would ask that we have a moment of silence in respect for him and for his family. Thank you. If you would look on the back of your bulletin, we do have other prayer requests. Clifford Smith, Larry Brown, Becky Flynn, and Theon James. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning with a heart full of thankfulness, and also a heart that is very heavy. We are in awe of your power, yet in all of your power, you love us with a gentleness of a lamb. Father, we are so thankful to be counted as your children. Lord, when you fashioned Adam from the ground, you said he was perfect and made in your image. Then from perfection, you created perfection and called her good. In your word, we find a noble woman is worth more than precious rubies in your sight. Today, we thank you for women around the globe, for their work and what they do for your kingdom. You have uniquely equipped us and you work through us. Thank you, Lord, for the kingdom work of women in your church and United Methodist Women. Father, we lift up people who have been affected by the rains and flooding of this week, and for those impacted by tornadoes. Comfort them in their losses. We also lift up the families affected by the hateful acts on our college campuses. Lord, we ask for comforting angels to be dispatched to them and to their broken hearts. We also lift up the family of David Moore, as they are suffering a great loss as we are. We pray all of these things in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us pray for our morning offering. Our God and our Father, we acknowledge you are the giver of all things and all blessings, and we are only stewards of those gifts. We return to you a portion of them in accordance with your holy word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Remain standing for our hymn of meditation, I Am Thine, O Lord, number 419.
is Carol Grace, and I'm a retired Methodist pastor, and I'm so thankful that the UMW asked me to deliver the message today. And again, thank you, Reverend Mary, for sharing your pulpit with me. We'll be reading from 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21. Hear now the reading of God's holy word. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. This is the word of God for we, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Father God, we love you and we praise you for who you are. We love your word and we know that it represents light and life and truth. So we pray today that it would find a place within each of our hearts. Come, Holy Spirit, come. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, when I was 14 years old, my twin sister and I sang at University Park Church of the Nazarene in the youth choir. We sang, "Since my Savior came, my life is not the same. Old things have passed away, all things are new. The path that I once trod has changed since I met God. And what he's done for me, he'll do for you." Well, I loved, loved, loved that song. So you can imagine my delight when I came upon 2 Corinthians 5:17, which said the exact same thing. Well, that, at my young age, became one of my favorite scriptures. So we are going to use that scripture today to talk about becoming ambassadors for Christ. So what was Paul talking about when he said we have to become a new creation? Paul was saying that we're not just forgiven. We have to be changed. We have to be transformed. There has to have something happen in our heart that changes us from who we are to who we are going to be in Christ. I want you to think back for a moment to when your relationship with Jesus first began. If you're like me and you were raised in church, you don't remember the first time you heard the name Jesus. I remember hearing you say that one time, Becky Burgess. You don't remember when you first heard about Jesus. He was always a part of your life. But whether you were a young person, a teen, or an adult, you knew that when you began that relationship with Christ, something new had happened in your heart, and your life would never be the same. So here you went off, you were passionate, you were just full of energy, and you wanted everybody to know about your Savior. You read your Bible every day. You prayed. You went to church every single time the door was open. But then something happens along the way. Life intrudes upon our holiness, and suddenly we're not reading the Bible quite as much. We're not going to church quite as much. And here's the really scary part about that. The more we miss church, the less we are likely to miss being in church. Did you know that? The more we miss church, the less likely we are to miss being there. So we have to get to the point where we recognize that this free gift called salvation is ours for life. It's not a one-time event. It's something that we hold on to for now and for the rest of our lives. When we read the Acts of the Apostles, I don't know about you, but I get the idea that the first churches were perfect. They were all in unity. If someone had a need, they all joined together and gave according to that need. And we think, if only we could model ourselves after that first church. But let me tell you something. Paul isn't writing to the Corinthians because they were perfect. Paul is writing to the Corinthians because trouble had happened in the church, and he was trying to correct the problems in that church. You see, the church at Corinth was right in the middle of a pagan culture. So when you look at it on the surface, you think, well, how in the world could it prosper anyway? It prospered because God was there. It prospered because the Holy Spirit intended for it to prosper. But it was not without trouble. It was not without conflict. You see, many of the converts were pagan. They had not had no religion. They had been worshiping gods that were not true gods. And so to them, there was no problem with them to continue worshiping these gods and worshiping the one true and the living God. To Paul, that was a compromise he could not accept. Other problems crept up. There were problems in leadership. Some people wanted to follow Paul. Others wanted to follow Apollos, the preacher who came after Paul. Paul said, it doesn't matter as long as we all preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. There was false teaching. The church was a mess. And so Paul wrote to the Corinthians to remind them of the importance of living as a new creation. You see, when God reconciled us through the cross, he brought us back to him so that we could be in relationship with him. But we can only be in relationship with God if we turn away from sin. Does that mean we will never sin again once we receive our salvation? Wouldn't that be great? I'd love it. That would be wonderful. That's not what it means. It means that we will no longer actively seek after sin. It means that we will not keep one foot in the muddy puddle of sin and try to plant the other foot on the rock of salvation and righteousness. It just doesn't work that way. God wants us to respond to his love by choosing good over evil, light over dark, selflessness is what he needs for us to do. We must allow Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to enable us to accomplish every good thing, to do his will. When I was a new Christian, sometimes I get embarrassed when I share these stories in my young Christianity, but I've learned to overcome it. When I was a new Christian, I was young. And so I thought that once I received salvation, I had to be perfect, because Christians are perfect, right? Aren't they? Well, that's what I thought. And so every time I did something wrong, I would run down to the kneeling bench. They probably thought, what in the world is that 14-year-old involved in? Because I thought every time I did something wrong, it meant that Jesus Christ was not in my heart, that I had not received salvation. And so I had to keep going back to make sure it worked. Nobody had shared with this young girl that Christianity is a growth process. We don't just get it all at once. We don't just learn to walk in his image all at once. But this is what I love. When we commit to God daily that we are going to do his will for today, not our own, do you know what happens? He has already committed that he is going to enable us to walk in his image and not our own. That's an amen moment, guys. Amen. When we become intentional in our discipleship, God becomes supreme in our lives. And just as we have been reconciled back to God, we need to share with others that they too can be reconciled to God. We are called to become ambassadors to the world. I always think of the United Methodist women when I think of this scripture, being ambassadors to God in the world. We're not perfect, but we are perfectly redeemed. We are not perfect in heart, mind, soul, or body, but we are perfected in his love. We are not perfect, but God equips us with all we need for doing his perfect will. As ambassadors, we don't deliver our own message, do we? We deliver the message of the one who sent us. And earlier in this passage, I didn't read this, but Paul tells us that it's the love of Christ in us that compels us to become ambassadors to Christ. And we, through organizations like the United Methodist Women, not only carry the word of faith, we carry acts of mercy at home and abroad. Willingness to serve begins with the realization that each Christian has been uniquely gifted for a special role in the church, and no other person can satisfactorily fill that role. If we do not serve our God with that unique God-given role, there is a deficiency in the church and in our community. It is only when we allow God to work through us and use us according to his will that service becomes not a burden, but a joy. Paul says that God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus' work on the cross is not just about saving us from eternal damnation. It's about what we do with our salvation. Mary, you've been preaching about that. It's what we do with our salvation that counts. I want to ask you, when you go home today, are you going to take your salvation off like it's a coat that doesn't fit, hang it in the closet, and not put it on again until you get back next Sunday? Or are you going to live into your salvation each and every day of your life, growing into that coat so that it fits like a garment that you've had on for years? We need to learn. We cannot just be Sunday Christians. We need to be everyday Christians. Because salvation is not just a gift. It's a responsibility. We need to live into our salvation with joy, with hope, with anticipation, remembering that since my Savior came, my life is not the same. Old things have passed away. All things are new. The path that I once trod has changed since I met God. And what he's done for me, he'll do for you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Let us now prepare our hearts and minds to enter into the sacrament of Holy Communion.
Christ our Lord invites us to his table, all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will.
We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you and also with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory.
Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna in the highest.
blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread. He gave thanks unto God, and he broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this as often as you eat it in remembrance of me." And after the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks unto God, and gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink it as often as you do in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ is God. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood, by your Spirit. Make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Well, those who are going to be assisting me this morning, please come forward at this time. In the United Methodist Church, we observe an open communion. You do not have to be a member of this church in order to celebrate and partake of the sacrament of Holy Communion. We also have gluten-free wafers for those of you that need to have that as well. And you'll notice that we have a place here for you to offer to the Community Assistance Fund if you so desire. Let us now worship God as we offer this sacrament. Let us pray. Most loving and gracious God, we are so grateful for this meal that you have prepared by your Son, Jesus Christ, the host of this meal. We are the invited guests because we are your children. We have received the greatest gift, the remembrance of Christ's sacrifice, giving us salvation eternally. So God, as we have been nourished by this meal, may we also be nourished by your Holy Spirit, prepared to go forward into this world and serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. We invite the congregation to stand and sing our closing hymn today, number 707, Hymn of Promise. If there are those here today who would like to unite with this church in any of the ways we receive members, we invite you to do so as we stand and sing 707.
Thank you.
created to become ambassadors for Christ. Take the name of Jesus with you and share him with